Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Learning School Watch. We're glad you're with us tonight. Tonight's show will be in English. Our Chinese co-host is on vacation. Tonight we will read in John chapter 7. So glad you're with us tonight. We'll be starting in just a few moments. Tonight's show, Learning School Watch, will be in John chapter 7. ¶¶ So glad you're with us tonight for Lending School Watch, our regular weekly program on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. California time. We're going to be reading tonight in the book of John chapter 7, but before we do, let's open tonight with the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer that most Christians around the world memorize, and it is found in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're so glad you're with us tonight. And we are going to open in prayer also in a prayer speaking for our Chinese friends and our Asian friends around the world. We know that many of you go through tribulations and trials, and the Spirit of the Lord undergirding you can help you to stand true to the principles of the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this opportunity to share with one another the Word of God, the good news, Lord. We pray that you would protect our Chinese friends and help them to be able to hear the good news without fear of reprisal or harm. We pray that you would touch those tonight or today in need of healing or in need of mental health or in help of getting a job or taking care of their family or just in aches and pains all over, Lord. We pray that you will give them wisdom with how to deal with their daily life in order to be successful Christians living for God. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, you can contact me at my email anytime with your questions or comments at diane@lending.com. That's spelled D-I-A-N-E at L-E-N-N-I-N-G.com. Now remember the verses and chapters we have read before chapter 7 have to deal with God on earth in the representation of the flesh as Jesus Christ. And Jesus, through these beginning chapters of this book, was showing miracles to show the power of God and that he was indeed the Son of God. Here, God in the flesh. Jesus was here as God in the flesh to work among the people. And when we are Christians and have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and our lives, then Christ is living through us, through our fleshly body, what we call a vessel. And we can be used of God in similar ways that Jesus was used of God while here on earth. So we know that some of the miracles performed were healing the lame who could not walk and turning the water into wine at the wedding. And just wonderful miracles, one after another. And tonight we're going to read about Jesus goes to the Festival of Tabernacles. Now in the Jewish tradition, those are called feasts. And I'm hoping to be able to teach on that in the future, as our pastor just taught on it last month, and I have lots of good scriptures and notes about that. So eventually we'll teach you about that. Just stay tuned with us and we'll go through the Bible in the New Testament to start. So beginning in John 7, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders were there, looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe him. Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here." We're going to hear that repeated throughout the scripture quite a few times until, indeed, his time comes. "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival, because my time has not yet fully come." After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, and not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. The next section, we hear that Jesus teaches at the festival. Verse 14. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, "I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision," though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, "you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly." We find there is division over who Jesus is. Verse 25. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know who or where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." At this, tried to seize him. But no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believed in him. They said, "When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said one to another, "Where does this man intend to go, that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Now we're talking symbolically here. Thirsty in the spirit. There is a thirst in our spiritual body that a natural water does not fill. But we all thirst for something in our lives that only the Lord Jesus Christ and God can fill. And that's the thirst quencher that he's talking about, having Jesus in your heart. 38. "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Well, we know this is not natural, real water. It's a spiritual water that will flow from within us and onto those around us about the Spirit and love of God. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed him were later to receive. So the Spirit here we're talking about, that we have God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit is going to be given to those later and is given to us today as a gift when we receive the Lord Jesus into our heart. And one of the things the Spirit can do for us is be our guide. The Spirit can protect us and give us assurance and confirmation of others around us. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee?" Remember, he'd just come from Galilee after preaching about on the Mount, I think it was the Sermon on the Mount, in which he changed the fishes and the loaves of bread into enough food to feed 5,000 people. Some people wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. And we know that why that was, because his time had not yet come. So there was unbelief of the Jewish leaders. Verse 45, "Finally the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, 'Why didn't you bring him in?' 'No one ever spoke the way this man does,' the guards replied." "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No." "But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him, find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Let's take a moment here to say the salvation prayer to those who have not received the Lord Jesus. Now, if you've already received the Lord Jesus, it's okay if you just pray along with others around you to help them feel comfortable if they want to pray out loud. But let's pray tonight remembering the scriptures that He gives us about salvation. We know in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We need to receive God's best gift in order to become a child of God and a member of His family. And it is a gift that God gives us. God gives us salvation as a gift. We do not have to work for it. We do not need anyone else's permission. This is an individual decision for each person. John 1:2, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God." John 3:3, Jesus said, "You must be born again." He means a spiritual rebirth. Romans 5:8, "But God proves His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we're going to be reading about that time, of what Jesus calls when His time has come. Just stay with us in the weeks ahead and you'll find out what that's about. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly." Isaiah 53:4-5, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He who was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." So let's say the salvation prayer here together. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I have been separated from You and that I have been a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for my sins. And now I receive Your forgiveness. I receive God's best gift of life, His Son Jesus, into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I am willing to turn from my way and go Your way. I believe, I confess my sins. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask and invite You into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I will follow and obey You as the Lord of my life. In the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Just praise the Lord that another new person or number of persons have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior and have joined the family of God right now. We're so grateful that you are now in God's family, that you have joined God's family of people all around the world, of all nationalities, of all race and creed, and of all socioeconomic groups, whether they be rich or poor, man or woman, bond or free, or child or adult. God wants you to become a part of His family, and we just worship and praise the Lord that He has brought you in to the family by His Spirit. We know the Spirit of God woos people into knowing about Jesus. And if you're listening and you still have not asked the Lord, but you're thinking about it, ask the Lord to woo you unto Him by His Spirit and to reveal to you the truth of God and who He really is. Because we know that God is real. let's just worship the Lord together in a song and praise the Lord that all who have joined the family of God are faithful. And God is faithful to us as well. This one is, "Oh, come all ye faithful." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are always faithful. We praise you, Lord, for each new person who's joined the family of God. We worship you, Lord, the Holy, Mighty One. Praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing, choirs of angels. The choirs of angels are singing right now over the new ones who have joined the family and have received the gift. Eternal salvation. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, right now for the new ones who have joined the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, since our co-host is on vacation, I'm going to read some more in the chapter 8 of the book of John so we can give you an ample time to listen to the scriptures tonight. Chapter 8. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered about him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus went down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stopped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, but the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. and neither do I condemn you. Lord, go now and leave and live free from your life of sin. Praise the Lord. Then we find there was dispute over Jesus' testimony. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world, for whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I have come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true. Because I am not alone, I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they ask him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. For if you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke those words while teaching in the temple, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. Now we are going to find out in future scriptures when the hour of Jesus does come. That is a very important hour for all of us. For because of that, we now have the New Testament scriptures whereby to live according to, rather than just the Old Testament. For we know that Jesus said, according to the new scriptures, that he is showing us a better way to live than by the Old Testament. We're going to find out that Jesus becomes the eternal blood lamb sacrifice, so that the priests no longer have to shed the blood of lambs in sacrifice, because Jesus became the eternal blood sacrifice in order for us to have forgiveness of our sins and to be able to receive Christ into our heart and as our Lord and Savior. Now Jesus is our advocate, or the one who speaks to us, to God the Father. Each one of us can speak directly to God through Jesus. We don't need a priest or anyone to pray there anymore, or we don't have to pray through Mary or any priest or husband or spouse. We can each one pray directly to God because Jesus is our advocate and our go-between between us and God the Father. So remember that the choice to be a Christian and to live as a Christian is yours alone for yourself. No one else can decide that for you. And the Holy Scriptures in the New Testament, we find, show us how to live a Christian life. Each week, we try to give you something more from the Scripture to help you to grow more in the stature of Christ and grow up as a mature Christian and be able to help others around you and learn and know about what it is to become a Christian. We're going to find lots of good lessons ahead. So we are praying for you that your health will remain good and that those who are suffering will be touched and healed, and by the power of God that your lives will be changed. As we know by the example that Jesus has given us through the Bible, like we've been reading in John, that the power of God is almighty, that he can heal us, that he can turn food into multiplied amounts of food to feed the hungry, and God can meet all our needs. And we're going to find out explore ways about that in future lessons. Remember, you can listen to our lessons any time of day or night, 24/7, by logging in to blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Linning. Now, if you're listening on the computer, same site where you're listening to this, you can log in again later and look for the archived section, archived. The archived section is like the saved section where it's been recorded, and you can click on the arrow or the diamond or the arrow, whatever the shape is there, and get the shows to start, which started the first lesson in the first week of February 2012. The shows from 2011 were not these Bible stories, so make sure you get those in February, March, April, May, June, and July of 2012. And you can listen beginning in the first chapter of John, as far as we've gotten to chapter 8. And you can listen to some of the other co-hosts in other languages, such as Lao, Thai, Chinese, Swahili, and we are hoping to add others. And we have the Christmas story in December, or the 12th month, in 2011, which is really good to let your friends listen to. And in case we don't do it next year, we might do something different. You'll have a couple of choices to listen to around the Christmas holiday. And we are going to try to do a special lesson that comes to Thanksgiving as well. Talk about the things we have to be thankful for that the Lord has given us, how He has helped us through our difficult times. Now, God doesn't promise when we're a Christian that we won't have difficulties, but He promises to be with us and help us through them. And we know that we each have an angel that God has assigned us, and an angel that serves as our protection. So we do believe God has angels on our behalf who work on our behalf for each one of us. We're so glad you've been here with us tonight. We're going to close in a few moments. I'm going to pray in the closing moment. Remember, if you do have any needs or prayer requests or anything you'd like to share and you cannot call in, you can email me at diane@linning.com. And if you ever do want to call in, we have a toll-free number, 1-877-497-9937. So you can call in during our show. Usually after the lesson is better, then we can talk with you and answer your questions, or you can give prayer requests or just make a comment, whatever you would like. We're so glad you're here with us tonight, and we are going to close in prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each person who is listening, for we know that you see each person. For the scripture says that you count the hairs on our head, that you know the desire of our heart, and that you see the sparrow, and you see our need, and you see our heart. Lord, we pray that you would teach person through your spirit how to pray and how to worship with you and how to follow you, and woo them by your spirit and guide and instruct them by your spirit, as we learn tonight in the scripture. The Holy Spirit serves as a guide and a friend to be with you always, and you can just talk to God like He's your Father God. We're so grateful for each one. We pray that you would enlighten them in the knowledge of the Word, and that you would protect them, heal them, Lord, touch them, fill them with your Spirit, power, the Holy Spirit, and help them to tell of the good news, their friends, family, and neighbors, and protect them, Lord. Especially protect them in countries where Christians are being attacked. We pray for protection over them, that the power of their angels will blind those who wish to do hate against them, to not see that they are Christians, or to not see them if they are reading the Bible, or to not see them in times of danger. Pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, for we know your end time is near, and we want all people to be saved, and the harvest is great. Everyone needs to hear about the Lord. We especially pray for those who are Muslim, Lord, that you would woo to them by your Spirit and help them to see the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the true Messiah, and that Jesus, the true Messiah, will come again and stand on Mount Olives, and that he comes there to all people, regardless of nationality. Lord, we just pray that you would help them to understand reality and truth of God the Father. Lord, and we pray these things for your glory, for your power, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We love you all. We want you to know that God loves each and every one of you. And he wants each and every one of you to do well in life, to have joy, peace, harmony, and understanding with one another. And he wants each one of us to show the love of God and not to judge one another, but let the Spirit judge others. And let's just remember to pray for them. For we know that God often works through people in their toughest hour and when they are expressing some of the most unkind things. We know that God can work in them. Good night, all. We love you. God loves you. Take care. Good night. God bless you. Take care.